this beautiful Lord's Day, we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Begin reading in verse 10, please. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 10. The Bible says, "And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Lord, bless your word today. Thank you for it. Lord, I yield myself to you the best I know how. I ask that the Holy Spirit would have his way in this service. God, you forgive me my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness for thy name's sake. Thank you for the blood of Christ. Lord, as we gather here today, may the name of Christ be lifted up. May he be glorified. Lord, if someone's not a Christian today, I pray that today would be the day they trust you as their Savior.
Yes.
And Lord, as Christians, those of us who know you, make us, Lord, what you'd have us to be. Just deal with us as sons. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. I've entitled this message, Forgetting the Lord. Forgetting the Lord. And the great patriarch here, Moses, is instructing the children of Israel concerning their future prosperity and their future danger. The Bible tells us here that God had promised Abraham 450 years earlier, the land. God had promised it to Abraham. And he said to Abraham, "Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river of Euphrates." And then he lists a bunch of people that the children of Israel were going to conquer: the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites, and all those ites. But anyway, God was going to give the land to Israel, and he did. And down, we know the story now, but unfortunately, Israel did exactly what Moses warned them not to do. In chapter 32, of Deuteronomy, look over there, if you would. You can hold your place there in chapter 6, but look over at chapter 32 and begin reading verse 15. This particular part of is called the Song of Moses. But if you look at verse 15, it says, "But Jeshurun waxed fat." That's another name for Israel, or Jerusalem, or Israel. "Waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange God. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful." Notice this last part of chapter, or verse 18. He says, "And hast forgotten God that formed thee." That's the prediction of Israel. And it came to pass. It came to pass. Because of Israel's continued rebellion and disobedience, God scattered the Jews to the four winds. From AD 70 to 1948, the Jewish people were exiled from their homeland. That's a long time. But in our lifetime, he's gathering back the Jewish nation to the promised land. We're seeing that. And this is a fulfillment of prophecy. But that's not what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about forgetting God. The main lesson from our text this morning here in Deuteronomy chapter 6 is the danger of forgetting God. The danger of forgetting God. The prophet Isaiah said concerning Israel, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken any more? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devoured in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers." That's out of the book of Isaiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. You know, what Israel did is forsook God. And when they did, God let loose the judgment on them. I just read to you, he said, why would you be stricken anymore? In other words, I'm about done with you. There's no chance, there's no reason for me to, if I can put it this way, there's no reason for me to give you any more spankings. You're too far. You know, the Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Now, that's true for the Jewish people, but I want to tell you something. That's true for us today. Amen. That's true for this nation. Amen. That precept still is true. And we, as a nation, we're reaping a harvest of forgetting God today. We're reaping a harvest of forgetting God. You know, this United States of America has been a blessed land. God has blessed us tremendously. And we have enjoyed the benefits. You know, here in chapter 6, Moses said, you're gonna eat from vineyards you didn't plant, and you're going to live in houses you didn't build, and you're going to enjoy things that you... And you know, we're standing on the shoulders of great people in this country. There's people sacrificed their lives for our freedom and did great things and invented great things and created great things. And yet we are an unthankful people. Amen. And an ungrateful people. In other words, we've enjoyed the great benefits that other people have paid a great price for in this country. F.B. Meyer said, "Let us not forget how many of our present privileges and spiritual advantages must be credited to the prayers and tears, the labors and the sufferings of those who have left these precious inheritances to us, their children and heirs. We drink of cisterns we never hewed." You know, not only have we enjoyed the physical blessings that God has allowed us here in this country, we've had great spiritual blessings. We've had, again, we're standing on the shoulders of spiritual giants in this country. This country was founded on Christian principles, and yet we've rejected all that. I just have 3 points this morning. Number one, prosperity often brings pride. Prosperity often brings pride. Number two, we're naturally prone to forget God. Amen. We're naturally prone to forget God. And number three, We need to remember that the Lord brought us. The Lord brought us. So number one, prosperity often brings pride. One man said one of the blessings of obedience is prosperity. In other words, if you do what God says and you try to obey the Lord, oftentimes you'll be rewarded. I think that's true in life. But on the flip side of that, one of the downsides of prosperity is, one of the dangers is pride. One of the dangers of being prosperous is comfort. We get comfortable and ease. We take it easy. And we self-reliance. We start thinking, well, I did this. We don't rely on God so much. Being prosperous or blessed by God can cause us to think too much of ourselves. Spurgeon said, pride is the peculiar sin of prosperity. Isn't that something? Pride, you know, prosperity ought to make us give more glory to God. If God has blessed you somehow, you ought to give more glory to God, not become proud. But man in his nature becomes proud, doesn't he? One man said about himself, he said, I'm a self-made man. You ever heard anybody say that? I'm a self-made man. Spurgeon said, well, you can say one thing about him. He adored his creator. Listen, folks, I appreciate hardworking people, and I appreciate smart people, and I appreciate people that are able to do things with their hands and with their mind. But the fact of the matter is, if God didn't give you that ability, you couldn't do anything. If God didn't give you the ability to get out of bed this morning, you couldn't have got out of bed this morning. So give him the glory. Don't go around bragging about what you can do. Because the fact of the matter is before the day's over, you might not be able to do anything. We just don't know, do we? So prosperity has destroyed a good preacher friend of mine. He's home with the Lord now, Brother Larry Conway. He used to say prosperity's killed more Christians than poverty ever has. And you might be sitting here this morning and say, well, I'm poor as Job's turkey. And maybe so. But you know something, folks? I got to thinking about that this morning as I was thinking about this message. Compared to other people in the world, even a person here that's not real well off is pretty well off.
Amen.
We're pretty well off. You go to other parts of the world and see how they live. I mean, I hear these reports about down in Venezuela, they're having to eat their pets and eat their animals. We don't know anything about that. We don't know anything about starving or being hungry most of the time. And if you are hungry, please see me after the service. We'll get you something, amen. But we're living in a prosperous nation. We're very well off in this country compared to, there's a lot of people that's got a lot of health problems. Some of y'all here have health problems. But, you know, there's people with health problems that don't have a place to lay their head down at night. There's people with the same kind of health problems you've got, only they're on the street. I'm just trying to tell you, we're blessed. We're blessed. We're prosperous as a nation. Prosperity often brings pride, you know. We forget God.
Amen.
We forget God. And let me just say this about sudden prosperity. Sudden prosperity ruins a lot of people, don't it? Let me give you a couple examples. Everybody here is old enough to remember Jack Whitaker, the man that won the big lottery. It ruined his life. His wife said to one of the magazines, Newsweek or Time, she said it was the worst thing that ever happened to us. Sudden prosperity can ruin your life. Another example is you'll see a young person inherit a business from their father and they'll ruin themselves. and they'll ruin the business. Sudden prosperity can be bad for you, can it? You know? I know we all say, boy, I wish I had $1 million. Listen, it's hard to tell what we stupid stuff. Of course, $1 million ain't that much money these days. If the government, let me tell you all something. Hit pause here. Let me tell you something. If the government keeps printing and handing out money, we're going to be looking at $5.02 for a meal. You can't keep doing that, folks. You can't keep printing out money and handing it out to people. You just can't do it. What I'm saying is God has blessed this nation, and a lot of times we become unthankful. We become unthankful. You know, in the book of Romans, chapter 1, it lists a terrible sins. It talks about the sins of homosexuality. But one of the first sins it messages, or it mentions in Romans chapter 1, one of the first sins is they became unthankful. They became unthankful. God help us to be thankful. We've got a lot to be thankful for. We've got a lot to be thankful for. Prosperity often brings pride. Number two, we're naturally prone to forget God. It's unusual that Les and Ginger picked that song today. But we're naturally prone to forget God. We're by nature stubborn and forgetful people. Some of us are more forgetful than others, you know. I'm at that age where I walk into a room to get something and then I can't remember what I walked in there to get. I have to backtrack and hit it again to see if I can remember what I went there for, you know. You ever do that? I've looked for my glasses and I had them on my head. I've done that. I don't care for Joe Biden, but I don't make fun of his infirmities as far as his mind goes, because I'm a lot like him sometimes, I feel like. my mind ain't what it used to be, you know. But we are forgetful people. By that, I don't mean we forget where we put our car keys. I mean we forget that God has prospered us. Amen. And God has given us a lot of things. And he's been good to us. True Christianity, here's the thing about true Christianity. It often declines during prosperous times. In other words, when things go good, true Christianity suffers for it. That's unusual, isn't it? But it's true. We sung that hymn this morning. The hymn writer, I think his name was Robert Robertson, he had it right when he said, "Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it." We've got that in us. We're prone to move away from God. We're prone to forget God. That's why Moses was telling these people this. He's reminding them before it ever happened. Hey, don't forget God. God's been good to you. Don't forget God. But you know what? By nature, we're selfish people. We're selfish people. And by nature, we're ungrateful people. You know, I help me to be thankful. You know what I dislike about more than anything is an unthankful child. Amen. Don't you? We need to be thankful people. We need to be thankful people. You know, Christians ought to be the most thankful people on the planet. Right? I mean, look what God's done for us. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. We ought to be thankful. But I want to tell you something. Smooth sailing. We like smooth sailing, don't you? I like it when things go smooth. I like it when I got money in the bank. I like it when I don't have flat tires. I like it when the washing machine's working. I like it when the refrigerator's working. I like it when the dog ain't sick. I like smooth sailing. But you know something about smooth sailing? It often brings forgetfulness. We become complacent, don't we? J.C. Ryle was an Anglican preacher in the 19th century. He said trials, nobody likes trials, but difficulties. But he said trials are intended to make us think, to wean us from the world, to send us to the Bible, and to drive us to our knees. I don't want trials, Miss Frankie, but I will tell you this. When trouble happens, I'm more prone to pray. When hard times come, I'm more prone to seek God than when things are just going smooth. Do y'all agree with that?
Yes.
Is that your testimony this morning? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Nobody really, you know, wishes that we'd have trials, but you have to admit trials can bring you closer to God. They can bring, you know, some of the most sweetest times of fellowship with God can be during a really hard time in your life.
Amen.
Can it?
Amen.
We've all experienced that, I'm sure. You can look over there. Hold your place in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and look over to the book of Proverbs. You know this verse, but I wouldn't mind if you looked at it. Proverbs chapter 30. It's called the Prayer of Agar. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 7. He says, two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Notice this, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. You know what the writer here is saying? He's saying, God, just give me what I need. Because if I get too much, I'll forget you. I won't be dependent upon you. I won't think about you. Prosperity is, we like it, but it can hinder you too. And then he said, don't make me so poor that I'm tempted to steal. Right? In other words, Lord, just meet my needs. Just meet my needs. Can I tell you something? I've been saved since 1989. And God's always taken care of me. He's always met my needs. He's always taken care of me. Can you say that? I figure you can. Today, God's always taken care of you. Now, there's been times you probably wondered, but you know what that did? If you're a Christian, that probably made you pray.
Amen.
Lord, how am I going to get out of this mess? Or Lord, how am I going to pay this bill? Or Lord, how am I going to get by this? You know. Well, he takes care of us, doesn't he? He clothes the fields with the lilies, and he feeds the birds. He can take care of you and I, can he? Let me just say this real quick. A lot of times we have not because we ask not.
Amen.
There's a lot of times we go through difficult times and we never even talk to God about it.
Amen.
Well, shame on us. Right? Shame on us for that. So prosperity, if you get too well off, you might forget God. You might forget God. So we ought to pray like Agar, Lord, don't give me too much. You know. So prosperity often brings pride, number one. Pride's a funny thing. This is a fact, I think. You can correct me after the service if you want to. But a lot of wealthy people have a lot of pride. Not all. We were talking about that at work the other day. We were talking about people, and we were talking about people with a lot of money. You know, I don't have a lot of money. I don't know if y'all have a lot of money or not, but if you do, I haven't seen it. But We were talking about people that have a lot of money, and we were talking about people being down to earth. You ever met somebody who has a lot of money, but they're real down to earth? It's easy to like somebody like that, isn't it? They got a lot of money. They can do whatever. They can buy whatever. They can go whatever. But yet they're still real down to earth. Well, I think that's the way we ought to be. If the Lord prospers us, is we ought to be down to earth, don't you? Pride, though. A lot of times when people get money, they get proud, don't they? They get proud. But here's the flip side of that. You can be poor as a church mouse and still be proud. Have you ever seen that bumper sticker, "I'm poor, but I'm proud"? Pride is no respecter of persons, is it? I mean, it's in all of us. We got to fight pride. We're naturally, number two, we're naturally prone to forget God.
Yes.
And number three, remember that the Lord has brought us. Look at verse 10 of chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10. "And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee." The Lord brought the Israelites out of Egypt, didn't he? He brought them out. And look down at verse 12. "Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth." The Lord brought them out of the house of bondage. I want to remind you today, and I want you to remember this, that any physical blessings that you and I enjoy come from God. Any physical blessings that you and I enjoy come from God. So, you know, the Bible says he feeds the ravens. You know, that's them big, ugly blackbirds. God still feeds them. He feeds the ravens. He does it through Evelyn mostly. I spend a tremendous amount of money buying her bird seed. But he feeds the ravens. He feeds the birds. But you know something? We're completely dependent on him in this life for the things that we have. And more importantly, we're completely dependent upon him for our spiritual blessings and the things to come. If you're saved today, you've got a spiritual inheritance, don't you?
Amen.
If you're saved today, you've got something to look forward to.
Amen.
You know, sometimes in this world, things get pretty bleak. They don't look too great. But I'm going to a place where everything's wonderful. Amen? It's God that gives us strength to move about. There's a lot of times I do physical labor, you know. The other day I had to dig a 2-foot hole, 2 foot deep, and I'm 61 years old, soon to be. I don't want to do that anymore. Amen. There's a verse in the Bible where the man says, "I cannot dig." I think that's a good verse. But a lot of times, Brother Jerry, when I'm working with my hands, I thank God for the ability to do that.
Amen.
Because there's some people can't do that.
Amen.
Right? And maybe you can't work with your hand. Maybe you work with your mind. I don't have much of a mind, but I can work with my hands. But if God's given you a good mind, you ought to thank God for that. Right? You ought to thank God for that. Maybe you've been double blessed. Maybe you have a good mind and you can work with your hands. Well, praise the Lord. Let's talk to me after service. We'll start a business. But the fact of the matter is, all that comes from God, doesn't it? Your ability to think, your ability to work with your hands, the health to get up and do stuff. We ought to be thankful for that. It comes from God. We're dependent. It's God that gave us the ability to make a living. You know, some of us are retired, but some of us are not, you know. I had a guy tell me the other day, he said, "Retirement for you means you go get some new tires on your car." That's retirement.
Yeah.
But, you know, God gives us the ability to do these things, doesn't he? He does. And Moses said, don't forget the one that brought you. Don't forget the one that brought you out. He's the one that saved our souls, right? I'm talking about the spiritual blessings, not just the physical blessings. He's the one that saved our souls. He's the one, as the hymn writer said, he sought me and bought me. He's the one. Lest you just have to see us to believe it, but in my notes, I've got what we sung here. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He, to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Ginger, you get the credit, I guess. But he sought me when I was a stranger. He sought me. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. You know, more important than any physical blessings, and I'm thankful for my physical things. I'm thankful for a nice house. I'm thankful for a car to drive. I'm thankful for a good wife. I'm thankful for my children. I'm really thankful for my grandchildren. I'm just kidding. I love all of them. But I'm thankful for all that. That's all blessing, isn't it? That's all blessing. But more important than all that is our spiritual blessings that we enjoy. Knowing Christ, having the peace in your heart that if you were to die, you'd go to heaven. Having the joy of knowing Jesus Christ, that's important. Those are big deals. The things that moth and rust do not corrupt. We've got treasures in heaven, don't we? Those things that we accumulate here, they're all temporal, aren't they? You know, they're all temporal. The blessings of eternal life and the joy of a home in heaven with Jesus Christ, these things, we can't give that to ourselves. He has to give them to us, doesn't he? He's the giver. He's the giver. And Moses said, remember that you were brought out of the house of bondage. You know, you and I were in bondage to sin. We were slaves to sin. But he brought us out, didn't he? He brought us out. There's a danger in forgetting God, folks. Don't forget God. Don't forget God. I'm not going to turn there, but I remember the story Jesus told about the prosperous farmer. You remember that? The man had a bumper crop, and he said, I tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to pull down my barns and build bigger. And then he said, I'm just going to kind of take it easy. And you know something? There's nothing wrong with building bigger barns. There's not anything wrong with taking it easy every once in a while. But Jesus said what the problem was is he forgot God. He forgot God. He didn't say, God, thank you so much for this bumper crop. Thank you so much that, Lord, I can increase my business. I can add to my business. Lord, I'm glad that I can do more for you now, or I can give more to somebody that needs it, or to a ministry. He forgot all about God. He said, I will do this. I will do that. I will do this. You know what God said? God looked down over the battlements of heaven and said, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Don't forget God. It's a dangerous thing, folks. I'm telling you right now, everything you're seeing, when you turn on the news in the morning, you know how fun that is. And you see how great we're doing as a nation. When you turn on the news, you're seeing a nation that has forgot God.
Amen.
That's what you're seeing. And you say, how do you fix it? Well, I tell you one way, you better start praying. You better start praying. That's one way. I don't know if there's any hope politically or not, but I can tell you this much, there's hope with God. You better pray that God have mercy on this nation. We need an awakening, don't we, folks? We need a revival. We need God to do something to this nation. We ought to get serious about that, praying for this country. There's a great danger of forgetting about God, because if you forget about God, you'll live without God, and if you live without God, you'll die without God.
Amen.
And if you die without God, there's no hope. There's no hope. He says, beware. Notice what he says. Verse 12. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord. I want to tell you something. These things were written for our examples. And Israel forgot God, didn't they?
Amen.
Israel forgot God. And you and I, if we're not careful, we can forget God. We can think, well, you know, everything's going smooth. We can get what they call spare tire religion, you know. But we shouldn't get like that, because every day God pours out his blessings on us.
Amen.
Every day. Let's remember every day that he's the one brought us out. He's the one saved us from sin. He's the one saved us from sin. You know, when you're saved from sin, you're saved three ways. You're saved from the power of sin. And you're saved from the penalty of sin. And one day, you're going to be saved from the very presence of sin. Won't that be something?
Amen.
It's hard to imagine, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, Colossians chapter 3 says this, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I just want to remind you this morning to set your affections on things above. Don't forget God. Don't forget God. Keep your priorities straight, folks. Let me ask you in closing, is your life hid in Christ? Are you in Christ? That's the most important thing. When I ask you that, what I'm asking you is, have you trusted Jesus Christ to be your substitute? Have you trusted him to be your sin bearer? Is he your Savior?
Yes.
That's what matters. Listen, I couldn't tell you what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know this, if you're a Christian, it's all going to be okay. Amen. We have a privilege that the world doesn't have. Lost people don't know anything what we're talking about, folks.
Amen.
That we can trust our God.
Amen.
And that we're going to spend eternity with him. Amen.
Amen.
Well, when he appears, you're going to appear with him? Amen. Les, you and Ginger, come ahead. Don't forget the Lord, folks.